Let me ask you guys a question. I love to ask you guys questions, man. I love to get the, I love to hear the cogs turning in your mind as you ponder this stuff. That's part of the fun of being up here. Sense of power. Let me ask you a question. What does it mean to walk on water? What's it mean? I mean, I know we've all probably used that phrase before, you know? Hey, you got to walk on water to get a promotion around here. You ever said that? Boy, just wait till Bobby's mom finds out what he did. She thinks that kid walks on water. Boy, is he in trouble. What do we mean when we talk about that? What do we mean when we say that someone walks on water? Leomar. Okay, that sounds really spiritual. Amen. To be above all circumstances through faith. You should come up here and preach this. Very good, actually. But what do most people mean when they say that? Most, you know, average Joe on the street. No offense, Joe. You're a superlative Joe anyway, so that's not you. They can do no wrong. Same kind of thought. You guys? Co-equal with God. Wow. Co-equal and co-eternal. Not confusing the members, but distinguishing between them, and yet not marring the unity between them. That's right. Trinitarian stuff. Yeah. Most guys don't mean that, but yeah. Ian. Perfection. You know any perfectionists? No. You have not lived till you've seen Ian straighten a tablecloth on a table. Perfection. Karen. To step out in faith. A lot of interesting answers here. I mean, is that pretty much... Gene. Wow. Amen. Someone who really exceeds expectations. And gets an attaboy. Not necessarily more money, but they get the recognition. John. Someone with a super ego. Could be it that way too in a negative sense. Yeah. Yeah. Dave. Wow. Okay. We're getting a real variety of stuff here. I mean, we get some really spiritual, heavy theological stuff. We get some you know, matter of fact, day by day, rubber meets the road kind of stuff. Walking on water. Let me say this. I think even with the possible exception of what Dave says, everything that everybody said has the common thread that we generally use it in an abstract, metaphorical kind of way. In other words, we really don't mean that somebody actually, literally walks on water, do we? Have you ever met somebody who actually, literally walks on water? Dave has. I've actually walked on water before. I mean, literally, physically. It was frozen at the time, but yeah, it was water, you know? I mean, what the heck? In fact, I'll give a little demonstration. This isn't even frozen. The trick is the depth. Quarter inch, you know, half inch, you're not too bad. 12 feet, look out. Glad that wasn't on our. Yeah, I'd have slipped. Walking on water. Now, I've never met any. Have you got? Oh, Dave, have you met somebody who literally actually walked on liquid water? Your mom walked on water. Dave's mom walks on water. Dave, there's counseling available for that, brother. But it's okay. There's a video you can see on YouTube, I think it was on TV, where a guy, an illusionist named Chris Angel, gave the impression of walking on water. It's a video clip of him walking across the pool in a costume. What they actually had, though, was plexiglass tables under the water with plexiglass stands so that the camera angle real low to the water was such that you couldn't see those tables. They were invisible. They even had people swim under the tables as he was walking on top of them so it looked like they were swimming under his feet. And it gives a pretty wild illusion. But nevertheless, it was still an illusion. I've never actually met anybody who actually walked on liquid water. And so I'm a little sympathetic towards the disciples of Jesus when they got a little freaked out when they saw him walking on water. They just got a little freaked. They got a little scared. They got a little blown away. Because in the midst of this storm, walking literally on the waves with no fiberglass or plexiglass under him was the Lord Jesus Christ. Blew him away. And I'm sympathetic to that. I would be in the same boat. No pun intended. But I would be. I wouldn't be like Peter stepping out of that thing. I'd be in the same boat. That would be me, okay? You guys too? I'd be a little bit freaked out to see somebody walking on water. Now, what fascinates me and what really challenges me is that Jesus was a little bit less sympathetic to their freaking out about his walking on water. He actually gently rebuked them for being amazed and terrified at what they were seeing. Now, that challenges me. Because frankly, I would be amazed. How many people in this room, sitting in a boat, in a storm at sea, if they saw somebody, Jesus or anybody, walking on the waves, would be a little freaked out? Be honest, you're in church. Okay. Does it challenge you that Jesus rebukes you gently and lovingly and says, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you afraid? Why are you freaked out?" That challenges me. It fascinates me too. And it wasn't because he thought little of them. He wasn't talking down to them. It is actually because he thought so much of them. And please hear this. He thinks so much of you also that he wants you to be able to fathom with all of your understanding the depth and the width and the breadth and the height of God's love and power towards you that he wants to pour into your life. And it requires a step of faith to do that. Christ wants so much for us. When he chides us for our being freaked out or blown away by some of these amazing things we read, it's not so that he can rebuke us and condescend to us. He wants us to lift our vision higher because the power of God towards us is so much greater than we can even imagine. That if we could lay a hold of that, even for a fraction of that, I am convinced, I am persuaded before God, it would revolutionize our lives. I mean that with every fiber of my being. Praise God. And so that's the way he felt towards them. We're going to see today that that's the way he feels towards you and I. And I pray that the Lord would open the eyes of our understanding and give us a vast, broad, life-changing vision of what he wants to do in our life. I mean, I am not here to simply ramble on and earn a paycheck. I am here to say what I have to say because God has made that real to my heart, and I hope with all of my being to be able to impart that to you so that it becomes real to you also, and that this will literally begin to change and transform your life. Amen. Praise God, man. Well, let's dive right in. But yeah, let's just walk on top. Mark 6, verses 45 to 52. Talking about walking on water. Last week, to give you a little background, we talked about the miracle of the loaves and fishes. Y'all have heard of that miracle. We all grew up with the Bible stories. We're familiar with that kind of thing. Multiplied the loaves, multiplied the fishes. They all got fell asleep on the couch in front of the TV set. Now, we saw last week how the Lord used the disciples to feed over 10,000 people using five loaves and two fish. We saw that he took them on a journey of faith. They were a little bit astounded at what he asked them to do when he said, "You feed them," but then he took them on a journey of faith. He said, "Take stock. How much do you have? You don't have nothing. You got a few loaves and fish. It's better than nothing. It's somewhere to start." And then he didn't curse that and he didn't get frustrated over that. He blessed it and he gave thanks for that. And then he told them to divide the crowd into bite-sized faith groups. groups of 50 and groups of 100, so that as they went out, as they went to those groups, God multiplied as they went the food, and so they fed 50, then 50 more, then 100, then another 100, until before they knew it, they had fed over 10,000 people. Good stuff. Now, what we didn't talk about last week was the fact that after they did that, the crowd wanted to take him by force and make him the king. Because they were like, hey, free food. What the hey? You know, this is great. This is the kind of king we've been waiting for. Kind of reminds you of America today. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going there. But they wanted to make him king. And I'm sure the disciples would have loved that too. You know, they were buds with Jesus. They're like, hey, he's king. Man, I'm Secretary of State. Let's have at it. So Jesus had to circumvent that because they wanted that for all the wrong reasons. That would have been an absolute disaster. It was not why he came to begin with, but it was truly for all the wrong reasons. And so he had to circumvent that, and that brings us to today's passage. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 52. We're going to look at it up on the screen. You're welcome to follow along in your Bible. And it says, immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled.